On this week's episode of the Ritual Misery Podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about How to Train Your Dragon, but a lot about Star Wars. Hello, and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 204 for Thursday, the 28th of February, 2019. This is the show where two lifelong friends and their guests celebrate all things geek. I'm Kent. Normally with me is Amos, but he's out this week, so we get the lovely Stephanie, a.k.a. Sassy N. Steph, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Life is good.
Yeah, it's been a while since you've been on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the last time was... It was a Doctor Who episode, and it was, I don't even think you were at episode 100 yet.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
I mean, if you don't count, like, I showed up on the stream with them once or twice, but.
Yeah, I mean, you make an appearance now and again, especially like in post shows and things like that. But being a proper guest or co-host on the show, it's been a while.
It's been a bit. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah. So last time we talked about Doctor Who, we're going to talk about Star Wars this time.
We'll still spacey geek nerds.
Yeah. So before we get into Star Wars, though, get us caught up. It's been a minute since you've been on the show. So what do you got going on lately?
Right now I'm looking for, that forever, place that I'm going to be that I have to earn money.
Oh, a job.
Actually, like, pay bills and do things like that.
And why are you looking for a job in earnest now?
I don't wanna.
Why are you looking for a job in earnest now as opposed to, like, I don't know, a few months ago?
Because I graduated from high school.
From high school? Good Lord. I mean, I robbed the cradle and all, but, like, not that severely.
No, I graduated with my bachelor's degree in business administration, and I decided that I needed to be back in the workforce, and I deserved more than retail, so it's a little more difficult to find a job that isn't retail in this town.
Right.
So I'm being picky and taking my time, but we'll see how it goes. I'm not complaining, though, because I get to stay at home and be in the wonderful sun.
You know, we have been getting some sun lately. It was
72 degrees today.
Yeah.
Opened all the windows in the house and it was boudumous.
Yeah,
loved it.
Man, I was stuck at work. Every time I would go outside, though, it was just absolutely gorgeous. It's been cold here lately. Well, okay, I say cold, but people in the Midwest and on the East Coast are going to get mad at me for saying
cold is a relative term.
I mean, we've had 40s and, it would dip in the 30s at night.
Oh, it would drop down to like 19 or 18 every once in a while at night.
Right. But I mean, just recently, like in the last week, we've had like low 40s and things like that. So being in the mid 70s is a very nice change.
Yeah. And it turned into basically my backyard is now knee high weeds.
Yes, we can't grow grass for crap, but we can grow the hell out of some weeds. So if anybody wants some weeds, not weed, but weeds, we got you covered.
We got you.
Oh my gosh. So we did go see How to Train Your Dragon.
Sunday night.
Yep.
Yeah.
So How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, which is the third installment of the How to Train Your Dragon series. What were your thoughts about that?
I loved the movie. Loved the theater experience even more.
And so why do you point out that you loved the theater experience?
I'm such a nitpicky person and I get very distracted. If someone's sitting next to me and they're eating candy, Kent, I understand that he's eating candy and it registers in my mind and I'm not thinking about the movie.
Takes you out of the experience.
Yeah. Or if I'm hearing people talk, I listen to them instead of watching the movie. So I miss probably like 3 minutes of Doctor Strange because there was a drunk guy sitting three rows next to us and it's like...
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that most of the people in the theater lost some Doctor Strange because of that guy. That guy was obnoxious and loud.
But no, for How to Train Your Dragon, because it was a 9:30 p.m. showtime on a Sunday night, there was literally probably a dozen people
in the
theater.
Yeah, there was probably like, 8, 10, 12, something like that. Yeah. Very few people in there.
And I would probably say the youngest person I saw in there was probably a 10-year-old who knows to shut up.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Shut your damn mouth.
But I mean, I'm picky when it comes to theater. So most of my movies that I go see, unless they're super engrossing and it's like a moment, I hear everything else and what everyone else is saying.
So what did you think about the movie? You said you liked it, right?
Oh, I loved it.
You would recommend it to...
Go watch it. Everyone.
Everyone?
Go.
Yeah.
It's not just a kid's movie.
If you enjoyed the first two How to Train Your Dragon movies, yeah, I recommend it. It's pretty much what you would expect from that series. No, like tonal differences or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a PG animated film. So, but it's well worth your time.
Yeah, it was great. There's some moments with some feels. So if you like movies that, just make you feel good about being a person, like definitely go check it out. It's pretty good. But if you guys like this show, the Ritual Misery podcast, I encourage you to go over to patreon.com/ritualmisery. Show us that you give a fuck by giving us a buck. We've got all kinds of...
You just made that up.
No, I've been saying that forever.
Shit, that's how you know I don't watch your show.
So we try to give some patron exclusives over there. There's some exclusive interviews. The patrons get early versions of our shows. You never know what's going to pop up in there. But I'd encourage everyone to go check it out. And, you know, if you can spare a buck, we'd love to have it. Patreon.com/ritual misery. All right. Stephanie, I'm going to go ahead and play an audio file here. It's not entirely accurate, but it's for the segment. So here we go.
Can I please have your attention?
In the last 30 minutes, Kent's done something. Now you've got a guess.
He was very excited.
Kent's game.
Play with him.
So normally that's the intro to a game that I came up with that I give to Amos and our guest. And I didn't this week.
He didn't make a game. He was too busy not doing OBS things and setting all of this up so we can have a seamless show. No. Stephanie spent 7 hours doing this freaking quiz.
7 hours. It usually takes me like 30 minutes because that's all the time that I allot myself.
Squid finally noticed. I was waiting for the person.
Squid in the Twitch chat says, why does your door look like a Tatooine or Cloud City doorway? So this is, we're actually sitting in, on Tatooine. We are in the Lars homestead.
We're in Aunt Beru's kitchen.
Yeah. We're sitting in Aunt Beru's kitchen. I don't know if you can, I don't know. There's some blue milk around here somewhere.
It's over there.
Yeah. That way. So, it's pretty cool here on Tatooine. You talked about the sun being out and it's warm. I mean, you
actually,
would expect that on Tatooine, right?
We are pretty much on Tatooine right now compared to the rest of the U.S., I think we are on Tatooine.
Right. I mean, we are in the desert. So, all right. So you made a game.
I did make a game. So I have one rule for this game.
Okay.
For you. One, obviously, don't look at my screen.
Of course.
Two, when you're saying what you have to say for the answer, you have to use the character's voice.
Oh, dear God. Okay. All right. I'm into it.
Okay. So I've heard a lot, you know, I just told you guys I'm trying to get a job. I've heard a lot of people being like, you know, it's the first impression that is the lasting impression. However, I'm of the opinion that it's the last that you see of something or someone that is the lasting impression.
Okay.
So I want to see which one is true.
Squid in the chat says Kent's fucked. Probably.
This should be interesting because there's at least one female voice in here.
Okay.
All right. So basically the quiz is called We're All Dying to Know. First and last words.
Okay.
So spoiler alert, a little morbid. All of these characters are dead.
Okay. So let me get this straight. I'm supposed to say the first line that the character says and the last line the character says.
So when they're introduced in the film.
Oh my God. This is going to be so hard.
And then their deaths. sentence. Basically.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay. All right.
I'm curious to see, because it is that first impression that you get. Is it really what they said? And is it the last thing that they actually said?
Okay. All right. Ready to do this. What you got? What's my first character?
All right. So we have Han Solo. What's his first thing that he says in episode 4?
Oh my God. Okay. So I'm picturing him looking all cool and badass in the cantina. I want to say he was being very like sarcastic. He said something like the fuck you mean you never heard of the Millennium Falcon? Ooh, but that wasn't it.
No, that's like the second sentence.
So I think he said, yeah. All right. He said, Han Solo, Captain of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, dear God.
All right. Yes.
So, yes, there's more to it. However, I'm giving him that because that just was like.
All right. So then his last
words, his death sentence.
It's got to be something like, God damn it, son. Didn't I tell you not to run with lightsabers? Something like that.
What did your mother tell you?
Right. Oh, my God. What was his last line? I mean, was it?
Do I need to lead you into it? Kylo says, or he didn't say father, but he said, I need you to help me with something.
Yeah. And then he says, I'll do what? Oh, my God. Anything. I think he said anything. Yes. Oh, my God. That took me long enough.
You got half of it. He said, yes, anything.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to deduct points because you weren't saying it in Harrison Ford's accent.
Oh, shit.
Does Harrison Ford have an accent?
Was I not saying? I thought my normal voice sounds like Harrison Ford. Because I grew up like idolizing Han Solo. And I thought like, well, yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, I look just like him. I sound just like him.
He comes up, he's like, Han Solo, Captain of the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. Chewie here says you're looking for passage to this Alderaan system.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you sound more like Harrison Ford than I do, actually.
All right. So the next one, this one, I'm intrigued if you're actually going to get it because it's a newly introduced. It's from Solo.
Okay. Okay.
L337. Do you remember her?
Yes. So that's the droid. That's so L337 is kind of a nerd in joke because that is like nerd speak for leet, which means elite or like hacker code or whatever you want to call it.
So what is her opening sentence?
Oh my God. It was something snarky as hell.
Oh, it was.
Ah, geez. See this one. I wouldn't even know where to guess.
All right. I'm just going to stop you there.
Okay.
Ready for it? So the droids are fighting.
Oh, in
everyone's
the
betting on it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
And she says, no, not acceptable.
Ah, yes.
Stop exploiting droids, you slimy. And then Lando goes insane and takes her away.
Okay. Yep. That.
Cause she is the activist.
Yeah. That tracks. Okay. And then her last line that would have been on the Millennium Falcon. Millennium Falcon. Let me learn how to speak. Let's see. She probably said something to Lando. Her last words were probably to Lando.
Oh, you got the first you got the first word, right?
Oh, Lando. Oh my gosh. I don't know. it's probably something like, I don't know. Lando, honey, I'm dying here. I don't know.
No, it's actually more touching than that.
Okay. I figured it would be.
She's a droid. Come on. She's got feelings.
Bad Weave says, what the hell's an aluminum falcon? Yeah. I don't know. Words coming out of my mouth.
She actually, she becomes the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Lando, what's happening to me?
Oh, crap. Okay. Yep. Yeah,
because she was basically like sliced in half.
Yeah, that tracks as well.
It was very like, no, don't go.
Yeah. Well, but obviously she speaks a strange dialect because in Empire Strikes Back, 3PO points out that
I don't know where your ship learned how to speak.
Yeah. I don't know where your ship learned how to communicate, but yeah, something.
Yeah. So the,
speaks it, of, yeah, whatever it was.
Something tracked, like dialect. It tracked. It was cool. Okay. So let's skip around a little bit here.
Okay.
Qui-Gon. Let's go to episode one.
Okay, so oh my God.
Qui-Gon's
It's been
Jin.
So long since I've seen episode one.
And this is literally within the first, like, minute.
Yeah. After so he says something like...
We don't even know it's him yet.
I hope the negotiations are short or something like that.
No, that was Obi-Wan. Literally, we didn't even see that they were...
Take me to the ambassador.
Nope, we didn't even see they were Jedi yet.
Yeah.
We didn't even see...
So I'm thinking, take me to the ambassador.
Nope.
So, okay.
No, it's Captain. Tell them we wish to board at once.
Okay, that's right.
I told you this is before we even knew what they were.
Right, yeah.
And his death sentence, his last line.
Oh my God. Some like,
by the way, okay, I am excluding ghosts.
Right. Yeah. It's while he's in his corporeal form,
yep.
And he's dying from being stabbed by Darth Maul. I think his last words had something to do with training Anakin. So he said something like, "The boy must be trained."
I want to push it.
Well, I'm supposed to do an impression, right? So I'm trying to...
You're trying to be Liam Neeson here.
Yeah, I know. The boy must be trained. Damn it.
He is the chosen one. He will bring balance. Train him.
Damn it, I should get half credit for that.
I'm giving you kind of credit. Right. I could have cricketed you. Come on.
Right. Okay.
All right. So Rogue One.
Okay. Okay.
We got another snarky droid.
Okay. So that'd be K2SO.
K2SO.
Okay.
His introduction was, I'm going to give this to you because I had to rethink really hard where his introduction was.
Okay. So I think his first words were, "You're being rescued." Something like that. If that's the...
I'm just going to do it.
Okay.
So yes, congratulations. You're being rescued.
Congratulations.
Please do not resist.
Right.
Because yeah. This was when Jen was running out of thing.
Yeah, and he clotheslined her, basically.
He freaking threw her on the ground.
Oh, that's right. He basically chokeslammed her.
He chokeslammed her. No, did you know that wasn't me? Was freaking hilarious. And she's like, yeah, of course I did. When she shot another droid that looked just like him.
Oh, right,
him.
Yeah. Yep. So his final words.
This made me, out of all the things that happened in Rogue One, this is the one that made me tear up the most.
Yeah.
What did he say?
See, so he was basically covering their escape. He was covering Cassian and Jin's escape when they were stealing the Death Star plans. And gosh, he said something like, "Go on without me."
Not his final words, but.
Jeez. Oh my gosh. It was something very touching. Is that the line?
Oh, you're a dick.
Is that the line?
That's the line from Serenity.
Okay, so Bad Weave in the chat. So you have to remember we have audio listeners that can't see the chat. So Bad Weave in the chat writes, "I am a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar." Yeah, you're... it's the same actor.
You just pulled my heart out.
That was the death line for Wash. Yes. Played by Alan Tudyk.
Tudyk, who played
K2SO. Yeah, so I don't remember his last line. Something he did say something
It's one word. It's one word. Literally. One word.
Okay. What was it?
Goodbye.
Goodbye. That's why I don't remember it. It's not a memorable line.
For a droid to say goodbye was just like,
Oh my gosh. Max Trollwatt says Casio keyboard was the best character.
I know. Bad Weave, I have a really soft spot for all of my Firefly people.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Especially Wash is kind of a special.
He's my hero.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So who do we have next?
We did that one. I'm not even marking if you're getting these right or not. All right. Assume you're not.
You're just going to give me a score. screw it. Point and a half.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So you did the two droids. You did Han Solo. Ooh, Yoda.
Oh, geez. Away, put your weapon. I mean you no harm.
Ah, no, that was not.
That
was his second line.
That was his second line? Oh, yep. My gosh.
Because Luke was saying, you know what? It feels like...
Oh, it feels like what? Wait. Feels like what?
Yay! And then you have to scream because he screamed.
Yeah. Just tried to do a Frank Oz impression.
You got one right. I had to lead you though.
Okay. It was probably sounded more like Miss Piggy than Yoda, but Frank Oz.
Miss Piggy.
He did the voice for Miss Piggy as well.
Okay.
Kermit.
I would feel so bad for you if you don't get, there's a whole paragraph that he said before he died.
Right,
if
right.
If you do not get any of this right.
So his last actual sentence was... There is another... Wait, hold on. There is another Skywalker. So that was his final line.
Yeah, he had a whole...
But he had a whole thing,
he had a whole soliloquy, yeah.
And he was like, yeah, your father he is, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Don't go to the dark
shame
side.
It is to face him you must and all this other stuff.
Because as he's crawling into bed and being all old and
yeah.
And by the way, the voice pretty close. But it was there is another sky Walker.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he says sky twice. Anyway.
Okay.
We're just getting super geeky.
A little bit.
Moving on.
All right.
We have the last one, the coup de grace.
Okay.
Luke Skywalker.
Oh, dear God.
Episode 4, introduction.
Yeah.
Luke.
Coming, Aunt Beru.
Luke. No, he never said coming, Aunt Beru.
No?
Nope. I watched it three times today to make sure.
Damn it. All right. So you, oh my gosh. All right. So,
Luke, make sure you tell
yeah,
Uncle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Geez. If he gets a translator, be sure it speaks Bashi. Okay, I'll remind him. Or, okay, Aunt Beru, I'll remind him. Something like that.
You know, you got the kind of innocence whiny voice. However, that's not the line.
Damn it.
And I'm actually disappointed because, like, New Hope is your thing.
Oh, it doesn't look like we have much of a choice, but I'll remind him. Hey, which one was it? We got the
both.
Damn.
I didn't even know I could do both at the same time. But we did both because you got it wrong the first time. And
okay.
Yeah. Right. Oh, all yeah. Right. I was supposed to go to Taji Station
to pick up some power converters.
And now in episode 8.
His final line.
Was his final line. And I'll give you a hint. He spoke it to Kylo. He said it to Kylo.
Yeah, he said something like I'm gonna haunt your ass. It was kind of a as Steph chokes on her tea. He basically told him he kind of echoed what Obi-Wan said in episode 4 to Darth Vader when he said, like, you know, strike me down and I shall become more powerful than you could possibly imagine. But he said it in disgruntled old man Luke fashion, which he basically told Kylo Ren, I'm going to fucking haunt your ass.
So, I'm telling him he's totally wrong right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Geez.
Oh, it's so much lighthearted than that. Come on.
Was it? I mean, yeah. It was kind of...
Literally his last sentence.
Yeah, like, see you around, kid.
Oh my God.
Is that it exactly?
What the hell? I literally pressed the applause button.
All right. Was it See You Around, Kid? Yeah. Oh,
see
my
you,
God.
See You Around, Kid. And then he disappeared. And then he disappeared in real life. Like, his projection disappeared, and then he disappeared in okay. on his rock.
All right.
So, yay! I gotta get some milk.
Yeah, Ben, we said, I gotta go milk them weird ass creatures again. Peace out, Kid. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm surprised. You kind of did not like enchant the old man grouchity voice when you said see around, Kid.
Right.
But I'm a little surprised that you couldn't, like, I know I made it a little harder than what I could have, because I had Emperor Palpatine in here at one point. I had Obi-Wan, and I had like Mace Windu.
Yeah, I think most characters would be just as hard as another for me, because just trying to remember first line and mm-hmm. last line.
Yeah. You got most of them incorrect. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I was in the ballpark, I think, for at least the majority of them.
I mean, some of them were legend.
That was a fun game. Yeah. That was a fun game.
But I mean, like, first impressions, last impressions, which is no better. Like,
yeah,
neither.
I liked it. Bad Weave says at least he didn't say yeet. That's what the kids these days say. It's like the new fuck. It's one of those words that can just mean whatever you want it to mean.
We always said aw snap when you're really saying when you say snap in class, and we're really being like aw fuck.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so that was a long quiz. Sorry, everyone.
No, the quizzes tend to be one of the longer segments on the show. All right, so let's real quick talk about some new stuff going on in the world of Star Wars. Disney, as was announced a long, long time ago, is adding a Star Wars themed park.
Yay!
And
it's an expansion to the already existing Disney World and Disneyland in Florida and California.
So it's called Galaxy's Edge.
It's 14 acres of nothing but Star Wars.
Yeah.
14 acres.
My God.
in this summer it opens in California, and this winter it opens in Florida. You need to take me to California so I can have my lifelong dream. I put him somewhere. He's gone. He's not here. So I can hug Chewbacca.
Yep. So this place is going to be absolutely amazing. Not only is there just life-size sets, life-size like replicas of the Millennium Falcon, several other ships, all kinds of things. The thing that I am most looking forward to, which, I mean, just walking through this place, I will be a child and probably like cry
so many people will just be like, oh, this is more for the adults who grew up with Star Wars than the kids. Because the kids are probably going to be like, I don't care that they have replicas of lightsabers and the costumes and all of this stuff. Like, no, we care.
Yeah, but what I am the most looking forward to is the ride that they're going to have. I don't remember what the name of it was, but it basically, it's kind of like four rides in one.
I was about to say, out of 14 acres, there's only one ride.
Well, no. There's all kinds. They're
going all out.
All kinds of stuff. But there's this ride. I wish I knew the name of it right now. But basically, you become a character in your own little Star Wars story, and you get on a ship and you fly to some place, and then you get captured by the First Order. And then like, it's this whole experience. And there's like I said, there's like four rides as a part of it. Plus you're like acting out this whole thing. And like, I think Rey comes to rescue you or something like that.
Rescue
and like,
me?
Like there's a whole just thing. And here's another thing. Oh. So this is some firsts for Disney parks. They're actually going to have benches in the line, because they know that the line is going to be like 7 billion freaking miles long.
Hours long. Like, everyone's going to...
Right. So they're going to have benches, and the entire line, you're like in a corridor, like this really long corridor that has things to do and see in the line itself. So it's like you're visiting a museum and you get to see pieces of it as you go through.
In line to go.
Yeah. And like these benches are like,
do they move?
Well, no, I don't think they move, but like as you move through this area, there's like, you're basically on a Star Wars set as you're moving through the scene. And there's like, you know, old like runes from, you know, like the Star Wars universe. And like, you know, you move to a different area and it's a different type of setting.
Squid actually just said, yeah, there's a 20-minute pre-ride to the ride.
Yeah.
I think
no
it's
doubt.
More than 20 minutes considering. It's probably going to take you like 3 or 4 hours waiting in line.
Oh yeah. It's going to be insane, but it is part of the Fast Pass. So you can like reserve times and stuff like that. So,
Benches of the Rebellion. That's amazing.
Patty. Yeah. Star Wars Benches of the Rebellion. Looking forward to that.
I want to see that movie.
All right. So more Star Wars news. We've got a new video game coming soon from the wonderful folks at EA. I couldn't even get through that without snickering.
Okay. You know, it's weird because I didn't think it was EA because everything I've read about this, they have always come out with Respawn Entertainment.
Right.
Is actually the
which
one
is,
putting this out.
Which is a studio that's like subsidiary to EA.
And yeah, my apologies. I didn't know that.
But yeah.
Maybe so, that's why they're putting it out that way.
Well, I'm hoping that this... stigma? I'm not really familiar with Respawn's work, like their past work. So I don't have anything to compare it to, but I'm really hoping that they... they don't give it the standard EA treatment, right?
Like, you know,
the loot boxes and like half-ass released games.
Well,
and,
okay, so this one and what they basically said it's going to be, it's a Padawan who escaped Order 66.
Right, so the game is called Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so a Padawan escapes Order 66.
And then explores the galaxy in this action adventure type game. So to me, it kind of seems it's more Legend of Zelda and less Battlefront.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I think it's going to be an adventure style game.
If you run into someone bad, then you got to escape and like you get lives and hearts and things like that. And it's, I really hope they learned their freaking ridiculous lesson and did stay away from loot boxes and skins because I mean, action adventure games, they don't have like skins and things
well,
like that.
So I it makes me think of, like the Lego games, right? So instead of skins, it's different characters. I mean, you could think of them as skins.
Yeah.
But the thing is you don't have to like win them in a lottery style.
Yeah, purchase. Like,
you just unlock them as you go through the game. Mm-hmm. And I think if they stick to more of that classic model of unlocking characters or skins or
then they should
powers or whatever it is, stages, whatever it happens to be, that's what I want back. And I think, I don't know, I'm holding out hope. This might be...
It might be the one.
I think a trailer is coming out at Celebration
this year. So in April, they're going to... I don't think it's a trailer. I think it's like gameplay. Like people...
Oh, like a demo.
Yeah, I think it's a demo from what I've been reading. I may be wrong. Okay, so Bad Weave said, so wait, this game is based on a previously unknown Padawan survivor from Anakin's massacre. Previously unknown.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know who this character is, but I would guess it's a brand new character.
I hope it's a brand new character because they've already explored Kanan, who was in Rebels, who was a Padawan, who escaped Order 66. And, you know, Rebels pretty much the entire cartoon series covered that.
I don't have any reason to believe that this is going to be a character we already know.
Yeah.
There's thousands and thousands of Jedi and a couple hundred survived Order 66 probably. So who knows? We'll see.
We hope it is.
All right. So one last thing that I want to talk about for like news items. The Mandalorian, if you guys have not heard of this, The Mandalorian is a TV show that is being developed right now about Star Wars. Yeah, live action Star Wars television series, the first ever. And it's coming exclusively to the Disney Plus streaming service that I believe is available this fall. they wrapped filming on The Mandalorian, and I'm super excited. I talked like a month or two ago on RMP about The Mandalorian and how excited I was. Boba Fett growing up was my favorite character, and it wasn't because the depth of his character, it was because of the freaking Mandalorian armor. Like, how cool is that armor? Well, we get an entire television show of the main character wearing Mandalorian armor.
But we don't, you know, I mean, is he's not the Fett, so.
Yeah, it can't be the Fett because they've, in the new canon, Boba Fett is not Mandalorian. So this is an actual Mandalorian who is a gunfighter somewhere in the far reaches of space. It's going to take place between the trilogies, I think, right? So like after Return of the Jedi, but before episode 7?
I believe so, yeah. I'm not 100%, don't quote me on that.
But either way, I don't think it's going to matter a lot because it takes place in like in a far flung area of the galaxy that we've never explored before. Yeah. So it's going to be far away from the Skywalker saga and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
towards the outer reaches where, you know, no one goes.
Yeah.
I've voiced this with you before. We've had this discussion, but it hasn't come up in a while. I'm skeptical about having a live action Star Wars TV series.
Which, okay, because we haven't had one yet.
Yeah, it's a new concept. All the live action has been film on the big screen. The cartoons, they always, you know, take a little bit of me to get into.
Sure.
Not a super huge fan of them at first. And then it's like, oh my God, I can't.
Then they become awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know how they're going to do it because to me, if you're going to do it live action, you can become a little more gritty and gruesome. And suddenly it turns into something that's less marketable to children.
Yeah, well, I think this show is probably going to be like a PG-13 range.
Yeah,
is what I'm thinking. I don't think there's ever going to be an R.
Well, I was going to say I understand they're not Game of Thronesing it, basically. Right. Coined that phrase, by the way.
Game of Thronesing.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that, but I would like to see because like we got teased a lot in Solo with the grittier side of like smugglers and killers and assassins.
Right. I kind of feel that's going to be a little bit of the tone of it is kind of how I feel. Mm-hmm. I think it might have a little bit of Firefly tone to it. Kind of like, you know, rogues on the far flung reaches of the galaxy trying to survive.
I didn't think about it that way.
The talent involved with this show has me really excited as well. Well past even the concept of the show. John Favreau is the showrunner.
Yeah.
Which is like his
sold.
Like, yeah. Like, all right, let's do it. Let's see what you got. but he's bringing in directors or Lucasfilm anyway. He's bringing in directors or did bring in directors because they've already wrapped on the season. All kinds of people. Taika Waititi, who directed Thor Ragnarok and What We Do in the Shadows and a bunch of other like more indie style films. I cannot wait to see what
he
did with that because it's like his brand of comedy has to be in there somewhere.
Is the Mandalorian going to like eat some magic mushrooms or is he going to smoke a death stick?
I don't know.
He's going to trip out. Like what's going on?
Yeah, but there's so many people. Bryce Dallas Howard is directing an episode.
Well, she's
the daughter of Ron Howard, who is the director of Solo. So there's just an all-star cast or an all-star like director
lineup. List. I was about to say, I'm looking at the cast here and the cast, like I don't like.
So the guy playing the titular Mandalorian.
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal. Game of Thrones fans would know him from Prince Oberyn. He was Prince Oberyn. And I thought his performance as Prince Oberyn was fantastic. And I cannot wait to see him in this role.
So, I mean, I want them to prove me wrong. That's what I want.
Yeah. I'm just excited. Like a little boy. I cannot wait. Can't wait.
Anything Star Wars, you're excited and a little boy.
So speaking of being excited as a little boy, I've watched something a day or two ago.
From another little boy who's just as nerdy and exciting as you.
So you guys remember Eric Foreman from that 70s show, right? Or maybe you remember him as Venom in the trash Spider-Man 3 movie from like forever ago.
I thought we all forgot him.
So Tover Grace is a uber Star Wars nerd. Like he and I would get along just fine, I think. He likes to make videos and he makes Star Wars trailers.
He took the original trilogy and edited it down to an 85 minute movie.
Yeah.
Spliced it together and just.
Yep. Like took out the filler and like just made it a super exciting, like a recut of the film. Well, he just a couple of days ago came out with this trailer called Star Wars Always. And it's basically a 5 minute trailer of the entire Star Wars saga.
8 episodes.
10 movies in whole.
Oh yeah. 10.
Because they did put Rogue Solo. One and Solo in there. So 10 movies as a whole. And he's put together this trailer that perfectly shows what the Star Wars saga is all about, at least up to this point.
Yeah, the Star Wars universe. It's amazing.
It is so freaking good. Like Lucasfilm hire this dude to make something for you, pay him for his talent. Not only is it awesome by itself, but the way they set it up, or the way Topher sets this trailer up.
He and his friend, he didn't do this alone.
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't remember his friend's name. He's not famous to me, but Topher and his buddy made this trailer. And the way that they set it up was basically a great lead-in for episode 9, because it basically shows us Rey and her being the next Jedi. And what is she going to do? Like this is a wonderful lead in and, you know, hype vehicle for episode 9. I think
I enjoyed it just because it made already like heart pulling scenes or like really important scenes, such as like when Obi-Wan is killed. Mm-hmm. And then it flashes to Luke disappearing as well. Yep. And it's like so many things just made it stronger. Like Han, like his storyline.
Max Trollbot says, if it's not 4.5 minutes of Jar Jar, I'm not watching.
Get out the chat. Get out.
Oh, geez.
We are not a Jar Jar family here. Anyway, so stay there, Max. Don't go anywhere. No, I thought things were just so much stronger with, I can't remember the actor's name, Obi-Wan, Old Ben.
Ewan McGregor or?
Old Ben.
Oh, Old Ben. You're talking about Sir Alec Guinness.
So having his voice over in parts for the prequels and for the sequel trilogy that's happening right now.
Totally. Because
it makes most it of so the prequels stronger.
Most of the prequels were based on Obi-Wan. Things that Obi-Wan said. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I fought in the Clone Wars and I was once a Jedi Knight like your father, great friend and blah, 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 blah. Like the prequels were basically just showing us visuals of what Obi-Wan already told Luke in episode 4.
That little story of, he was the best starfighter in the galaxy. And then you see Anakin doing some, Hayden Christensen doing some awesome moves. Like, so, I mean, I only watched it once. And the reason I watched it once was because I was just like, oh, so much power. Just one viewing and then I'll go back afterwards.
Yeah. I've only watched it twice, I think, two or three times myself. I think as soon as this show wraps up, I'm going to watch it again because it's so freaking good.
I'm surprised you already don't.
I need to show it to Lucas. I bet Lucas hasn't seen it. He needs to see this. Yeah. Okay. So the next thing that we wanted to talk about really, and we've kind of danced around it a little bit. So the anthology series or the Star Wars stories. So originally Lucasfilm said, they're going to make 3 anthology films in addition to the 3 saga films. So episode 7, 8, and 9.
The sequels.
And then in between those movies releases, they were going to make anthology films. So they decided, after throwing the word anthology around for a little while, they decided to change it to Star Wars Stories. So the first one we got was Rogue One, which was, so the anthology films were supposed to be like not part of the main saga, other stuff, other stories, right? But basically what these have become are like prequels or like background stories
or almost origin
of the saga.
Well, Solo definitely was more of an origin.
Yeah.
Not like we saw him, oh, here's he's being born and oh, here's how he was raised. And
yeah. So Rogue One was a like basically a lead it like a almost a spy I don't know what you would call it, like a like a spy thriller sort of ish about stealing the Death Star plans, yeah, right? But it led directly into Episode 4, yeah. Which,
well, it also describes too how they made the Death Star, like who is the creator right. behind the Death Star,
and that was some of the most interesting parts to me of that movie was like the you know showing you know how the Death Star was made, who actually made it, and how. How, like that was.
Yeah. Why is it so strong and powerful?
Right.
Oh, it's because of this. And then also I wanted to point out during Rogue One, we were introduced to the Kyber Crystal Temple. I don't remember what it's called, but it's a temple that's not for Jedi. It's not a Jedi temple.
Are you talking about on Jedha?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This temple for force users where they can worship, where it's the first time I think it was really introduced that it's like, cause people don't really realize that Sith and Jedi are orders. They are like kind of religions that practice themselves.
Yeah. Well, Han Solo said something about a hokey old religion.
Yes.
So the concept of it being a religion isn't by any stretch new.
We're introduced in Rogue One to this monk who's blind, who uses the force to see, who I think has some of the most badass action scenes when he's killing all the stormtroopers pew, 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 without a lightsaber. He's just got his freaking...
No lightsaber and no eyesight.
No, just his freaking walking cane and he's like being all badass. But he's also, the force is with me, like I'm one with the force. The force, like it...
Yeah, so he's a devout follower. He just doesn't have the powers.
And it just amazes me that he was there. He was included. And it made me really happy to see that. Yes. Thank you, Squid. I am one with the Force. The Force is one with me.
That was an interesting story, right? Mm-hmm. But it led directly into Episode 4. And then next they gave us Solo, a Star Wars story, which was the origin story of Han Solo, how he met Chewbacca, how he got the Millennium Falcon, how he met Lando Calrissian, how he got his blaster, how he got his name.
How he got his name. Like, that was a thing that no one was like, oh, yeah, no, Han Solo is his name. And then suddenly,
they gave us origin story for things we didn't even
think we needed origin stories for.
Origin story. Okay. You can critique the movie or whatever
as much as you want. Yeah.
But I enjoyed the hell out of that movie. It was just a super fun adventurous ride. But also it took me to where I was always fond of the Star Wars galaxy whenever there was a fringe element, right? So the criminal underworld, bounty hunters, smugglers, the not the rebels in the Empire, but the other stuff that's going on. And this was a deep dive into that.
Yep.
And I loved it.
I didn't have an issue with it. I mean, there were parts where it was slow. There were parts where it was like, oh, super exciting. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my biggest takeaway, which I will forever hoard over your head, is I was right. I was right. I was right.
All right. So Steph and I,
ladies and gentlemen, I was right.
I'm going to let you tell the story, but let me set it up. So Steph and I and the boys watched all of the Clone Wars cartoons and Rebels cartoons. And for those that don't know, Darth Maul didn't die. Like as we know from, if you're a film watcher, he did not die in the end of Episode 1. We learn about it in Clone Wars and Rebels. Mm-hmm. And the character of Maul it's expanded greatly
and hugely so, to the point where like, I love him.
Yeah, like he's a very interesting character as developed in the cartoon series. Mm-hmm. And before this movie came out, Steph and I were like theorizing, like, ooh, what do you think we're going to see? Oh, we know we're going to see that him meeting Chewbacca. Like, what else do you think we're going to mm-hmm. see? And you said,
I said, maybe not this movie, but I want to see Maul on the big screen again. I want to see him on the big screen. And Kent said, no, they're not going to do it. They've run him into the ground. No.
Yeah. So my take was at the very least, it sure as fuck is not going to happen in Solo, because number one, what the hell would Maul have to do with Solo's origin story? Number two, like mainstream audiences are just going to be confused. If you show Maul on the screen, they're going to be like, wait, this is fucking dumb because he died in episode one. Why are we seeing him? It's just going to confuse things. And like, that's Steph. I'm sorry. That's dumb. He's not going to be in Solo.
Guess who was right.
So we go to see the movie. Fast forward 2 hours. I get punched.
No, I did not. I physically did not touch him. The movie punched him because we're sitting next to each other and suddenly Maul pops up on the screen and Ken's just like, I could feel him like, and I'm sitting there like trying to hold in all of this excitement. And I know he knows that I know that he knows that he's feeling these feelings and I'm feeling my feelings. And I'm just sitting there
totally
trying not to be like, I told you.
Yeah. It was, wow.
I was so excited. But now so disappointed with the news that Solo 2 will not happen.
Yeah. So they were set to do at least a trilogy
for Solo.
Of Solo. Yeah. And do like some spinoffs from that, like a Boba Fett origin story. And, you know, and they would all be tied in, like the Alden Ehrenreich, the guy that played Han Solo, was supposed to cameo in the Boba Fett movie. And so there's a nerd theory right now that Boba Fett actually did cameo in the Solo movie. I'll link to that article in the show notes as well. I'm not going to go into it here, but it's an interesting theory. And they were going to do this whole thing. And then, of course, with Maul and Crimson Dawn, that whole thing and wherever that part of the saga goes with Kira and all of that, it was going to be a whole series of films just in that type of setting.
Han was going to get his own saga. But
Solo made a fuck ton of money for any movie coming out in movie theaters, but it did not make a fuck ton of money for a Star Wars movie.
It actually did not even gross worldwide. It grossed less than what its budget was. So I don't even know why, because Solo is not even that bad of a movie, but it was just like, I guess people went and saw it and then critics just garbaged it.
See, it wasn't really critics. It was internet assholes.
Squid is making a good point, because some nerds can't just enjoy a movie.
Exactly. Yep. And, well, see, in my opinion of why it didn't make a lot of money. Well, it did make a lot of money. Let me get that clear.
So it
did make a lot of money, but why it didn't make the expected Star Wars money is because it came out 3 months after Episode 8 came out.
Yeah.
So a little bit of Star Wars fatigue.
Well, it came out the same month that Infinity War came out.
Yeah, but also Episode 8 has been one of the most trashed movies of all time. Not because the movie sucks, but because, like Squid pointed out, some nerds can't just enjoy a movie. So anyway, some toxic culture.
We're not going to talk about
episode. Yeah. But Episode 8 suffered from some toxic culture backlash. And right on the heels of that, they released Solo. And it was just unfortunate timing. But again, I'll say it again. That being said, Solo still made a bucket of money, like a ton of money.
Worldwide, it was $237 million, but their budget was or yeah, I said million, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Their budget was $250 million.
Yeah. No, it's made more, it's made its money back.
So, I mean, but that was only the first 100 days in theaters.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not what they expected because all of the other movies made like billions.
Yeah. So as a result of the less than expected earnings, they decided to, well, as Disney likes to say, we are focusing on other projects at this time, which basically means they have shelved all of the sequels and tie-in movies for Solo. So
that doesn't mean though, that they're not going to go with the third one. Are they, did they shelf?
I don't know. Like nothing has been announced.
We were so promised three stories. Rogue One, Solo has come out. So are we going to get a third story? Mm-hmm. Are mm-hmm. we?
Well, and that's remains to be seen because after episode 8, we don't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Episode 8, of course, comes out at the end of this year and we would expect a year from that or sometime in the next year, we would get the next anthology film or Star Wars story. But nothing's been announced. There's been rumors about an Obi-Wan movie. Of course, the aforementioned rumors of Boba Fett. But I think when they shelved the Boba Fett movie is when they decided, you know what, let's do a TV show that's going to give people the same nerd feels as a Boba Fett movie. And mm-hmm. that's why they gave us the Mandalorian TV show. That's my guess. I'd be super shocked if we got a Boba Fett film like any time in the near future.
Yeah, that's anything that deals with anything that's the grimy underworld of Star Wars, like you were talking about, you know, smugglers and thieves and all of that. I think it probably would stay away because I think they're kind of putting two and two together that, you know, like the gringy grimy was maybe what people didn't like. But of course,
yeah,
it could just be that people are in love with the Skywalker story, which is the original, the prequels and the sequels. All eight episodes we've had so far is focused around this one family squabble that is essentially destroying the galaxy.
Yeah. So we get one more movie in the Skywalker saga and then they're done
with.
There are two more trilogies on deck. We don't really know what they're going to be about other than that. They're not going to be Skywalker saga. Mm-hmm. We've got Rian Johnson. So the guy that made episode eight, he's getting a trilogy. It's going to be some other place in the galaxy with characters we've never met, et cetera.
Which I think would be best. And, like, do something new.
And Benioff and Wise of Game of Thrones fame has been given a trilogy. Mm-hmm. Again, we have no idea. If there's going to be a rated R Star Wars, it's probably going to come from those guys. But we don't know. Make we don't know what happen. They're going
to
be. So
do it.
Those movies aside, let's say you were assigned by Kathleen Kennedy to be in charge of the anthology films and you got to pick the next anthology film. What would that story be?
I want the first Jedi.
Oh,
or the first Sith Lord. Like I want to go back to ancient times when people started realizing that like the Force could be controlled and then the Jedi, they created the Jedi Order and this religion and in its beginnings. I want to see that. And then the discovery of like, oh, there's an opposite of me. There's an evil of me. I want to see the beginning.
That's fascinating.
That's
I would love to see that as well.
I think it would be super cool.
So, my thoughts about the future of anthology films. I would love to see them do experiment a little bit because they have played it really safe with the Star Wars movies. I mean, people will say what they want about Rogue One being to this or Solo being to that or Episode 8 being to that.
We already knew how Rogue One was going to end. Of course we knew how Rogue One was going to end.
But they're playing it very safe, very in galaxy, just like this, right? Like Kathleen is trying to honor George's original vision and keep it just like that.
George is not in the picture anymore. Explore.
So what I would like to see similar to what we've seen with the MCU, we get very different styles of films, right? So we get Iron Man, which is just like a, you know, straight up adventure superhero film, right? But then we get things like Guardians of the Galaxy or Ant-Man that are just as much comedy as they are like action.
Yes.
And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like the different genres of film, but still in the superhero Marvel world. I would like to see Star Wars films do something similar. Like give, oh gosh, who are the directors? Lord and Miller, the original directors for Solo. Of Lego Movie fame and many, many other films. They were fired from Solo because they were getting
adventurous.
Yeah. They were putting too much of their own flavor into the movie, and Kathleen and company panicked and said, no, you're getting way too off script.
You know, it actually makes me wonder if they would have kept them if Solo would have done better.
What do you mean? Oh, if the movie would have done better,
had they
not brought in Ron Howard?
Yeah. I'm not saying anything against Ron Howard.
Well,
Ron Howard is great. However, he stuck with the classic George Lucas-esque direct.
Right. So, but I would like to see some experimentation like that. Like bring Lord and Miller back to make the movie that they want to make set in the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. Bring Taika Waititi in to direct a Star Wars movie. I mean, he's getting an episode of The Mandalorian.
Well, so we are getting that experimentation in a baby format.
And that's what I'm hoping that the TV show does is like gives different directors a voice, gives different writers a chance to say something in the Star Wars universe with different styles. And so not only are we getting The Mandalorian, but they've also announced a Cassian Andor TV series. It was supposed to be like a spy drama or something like that.
How he became what he became.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's an origin story for him or if it's just a, like the Adventures of Cassian kind of just like, you know, oh, this week on the Adventures of Cassian, we find our hero trapped in a, you know, something like that. It could be fun, you know, and if they do that with some experimentation, I think it would be freaking awesome.
Squid is mentioning something, says, I want a Rogue Squadron trilogy like the books.
Totally.
There is Alphabet Squadron that is coming out April? Something?
Something like that. Yeah. So Alphabet Squadron is something that was introduced in Rebels.
Yeah.
Which is, it's very similar to Rogue Squadron. And I don't know if you've, Squid, I don't know if you have read the book. Oh, you did say that you liked the books.
Yeah.
Rogue Squadron would be fantastic for a TV show.
Yeah,
you say a Rogue Squadron trilogy, that could be cool too. I want it as a TV show, like put Wedge and Tilly's as like the main protagonist and just run with it for as many seasons as it's good.
As it can go. My thing is like with the books that they're pulling these squadron and they're making the books war. Now, mind you, I never read what is called Legends or Legacy.
Legends. So the old canon before the pre-Disney canon.
I have only read everything that's canon except for two books. I'm missing two books and the stuff that's coming.
Yeah, but you'll get to them. I promise you will get to them.
They're in my shopping cart right now. So I haven't read those. However, I have read the Squadron books that have come out. So like Inferno Squadron and I can't remember the other one, but I've read them and I liked Inferno Squadron. And I actually kind of like, if we're playing with the idea of TV series and playing with let's experiment, let's twist it. Inferno Squadron was everything is from the point of view of an Imperial soldier.
Right. Yep.
So instead of like, oh, the rebellion, so it's we're basically, all good.
So let's say it's Sopranos in space. Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I would actually kind of enjoy seeing something like that because the book itself threw me for a loop because I was like, wait, what? Like they actually think they're doing good and that the rebels are the ones who are attacking them. And it really made you think differently about how politics and government and how people think on their own level when it comes to we're at war. So yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. And I think it would be cool.
So regardless of where they go with the anthology films or the TV series, I am looking forward to it. I cannot wait. That's about all the time that we have for our discussion. I hope you guys enjoyed us talking about Star Wars. Let us know. Steph, if people want to let you know what they thought about your appearance, where would they go to do that?
Well, once a month, there's this place I go and hang out. A lot of you already in the chat do meet up for movie party. We have not. Poodle Puncher and I kind of host the movie party. Mm-hmm. And we have not scheduled this month's or March's party yet. I'm sure mm-hmm. within the next several days we'll have that up.
But if people want to just like keep up with it and find out when it's announced, where would they go for that?
Yeah. So movieparty.net is a good place to start.
Okay.
And you can also at DC TV movie party, I believe is what our Twitter handle is.
Okay.
And also like me personally, if you have an issue with me, don't at me, bro, but you can at me. It's
at her, bro.
It's at Saucian. It's however you want to spell it.
No. If it's on Twitter, it's very specific in the spelling.
Saucianne.
Yeah, I think Justin Robert Young pronounced it Sazine.
Dude, somebody did clip it, and I think it's going to haunt me forever. Like, it's just going to.
Yeah, so Diamond Club Movie Party's Twitter handle is actually at DC Movie Party.
My apologies.
Hit Sassian up on Twitter. Check out the movie party. It's a once a month thing. That's always a good time. If you are interested in hitting me up, I am at Del Noche. Shit. I was about to read Amos's line. I'm actually at @RM_Del Noche. I'm at Del Noche in like almost every other platform out there. So check me out. Speaking of Amos, if you want to follow what he's got going on, he is at Ethan Kane on Twitter. Otherwise check out Ritual Misery at Ritual Misery on Twitter, or just head over to ritualmisery.com and you will find out, everything that we've got going on over there. We are live every Thursday at 7 PM Pacific.
Theoretically.
Okay. All right. I will say it the way that Amos likes to say it. We are live-ish every Thursday-ish at 7 p.m.-ish Pacific time on diamondclub.tv and twitch.tv/ritualmisery. I want to thank Kevin McLeod for allowing us
in the last 30 minutes
to not do that, to use his music.
If he could find
this is what happens
when Kent runs a show.
Damn it, I was doing so good too.
You are doing very
Where
well.
Did it go?
I don't think you even brought it up, honey.
There it is. Okay. So good Lord. Anyway, so we want to thank Kevin McLeod for allowing us to use his music. Head over to incompetech.com to check out his wonderful talents. But thank you for listening. For Amos, the absent Amos, for me, for Sassian, and for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
Hopes you have enjoyed this program.
RITUALMISERY. Oh my God.
You fucked up so bad.